Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to the house of the Lord. I am going to turn to the book of Luke chapter number 24 and Acts chapter number 1. Those are chapters that go together. Luke 24 is when Jesus is saying goodbye or I'll see you later to his disciples. And then in chapter number 1, we were talking about the disciples receiving a challenge. But before we do, Brother Jefferson, if you can wait just a minute. If you come to the front and Brother Joe comes to the front, we're going to anoint them with oil. And I want some of you men to gather around them because an opportunity is happening that we haven't had in 2 years. 2 years plus, huh? And CRCI, which was the prison ministry, got shut down. Nationwide, they shut down prison ministry. Some prisons you still can't go into. You can only use an app and broadcast, but these men are the only two men in our church that are certified to go into CRCI, and they're going to start ministering this afternoon at 6 o'clock. And I'm thankful for that because there are those that are in prison that need to be set free. So we're going to anoint them with oil and pray prayer of freshness upon them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we release fresh anointing, fresh oil, God, and from their lips may fresh bread flow. The hotness of your word, that it would minister to the hearts of those men that are behind bars at CRCI, that your holy anointing would be upon them, that it would be more than man's words, but they would be God-inspired words that would reach into the hearts and to the spirits of those individuals and bring deliverance and salvation and hope and healing and freedom in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anointed. Appointed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your anointing, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, gentlemen, for being willing to go to those that cannot come to us. Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 5. It's kind of an offhand remark. Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, well, which is also the Mount of Ascension, which is probably also the mount where he gave his first sermon, which was the Sermon on the Mount that we talk of, blessed are the pure in heart. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Right in the middle of him blessing them, he's gone. Well, they see him leave. So in the middle of God blessing them, he walks away, or he floats away, or he disappears into the heavens. And in verse number 10 of chapter number 1 of Acts, which by the way was written by Luke, he says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." This morning I want to preach on this subject matter, heaven. I want to go there. I want to go. Does anybody want to go to heaven? The rents do. You want to go to heaven? Your body's aching. You want to go to heaven? There's trouble in our world. We want to go to heaven. It's not about this world or our gain in this world or our happiness in this world, but it's the world to come. That's what I am living for. Thank you. You may be seated. Remember, it was the angels of the Lord that had delivered the message of hope to the shepherds on the Judean hillside. And that message proved to be true. It was the angel of the Lord that told Mary that Christ was risen, and that message was proved to be true. And now the angels of the Lord, two witnesses, have declared to about 500 men and women that Jesus would come again in the manner that he left. this too will prove to be true. This relationship that Jesus had been engaged in had been one of emotional strains and emotional extremes. Men and women had been drawn to Jesus by the Spirit of God that was in him. His love, the miracles, signs, wonders had captivated their attention. His Spirit had seized upon their hearts as they had gathered on the mountain that day. Some had been called to leave all and that they possessed to follow Jesus. Others left their careers to be taught of them. Many women followed him and gave to support his ministry. Some that were on that mountain had no doubt been delivered from demon possession. And some that were gathered had finally found a place to belong. Many had returned to follow Jesus who had risen from the dead. Jesus was their hope. But now he had gone away. Why had he gone away? When would he come back? Where were they to find comfort in this time of final parting? The only place we find comfort is in the words of Jesus. Just weeks before, Jesus had sat at Passover with his disciples, and Judas had shown his intent to betray Jesus by dipping the bread in the bowl and then walking into the darkness. Perhaps there was a bit of confusion in the thoughts and the feelings of the faithful men that were left around the table, looking into the eyes of the 11 elect or the chosen that remained, and knowing their hearts, Jesus began to reveal a little bit more of the reason he had come to earth. He began to declare the second part of his mission that could be performed only if he went to the other side of eternity, only on this side of the cross. They had followed him for 3.5 years and they were waiting for his kingdom to arrive. They were expecting for him to push the Romans out by some miracle. After all, he'd done many other miracles. He'd raised the dead and he'd healed the sick and the lame and the lepers and miracles that had never been seen in Israel before, and some that hadn't been seen for generations or centuries were happening. Surely he could just snap his fingers or speak the word and Herod would fall over and all the soldiers would fall dead along the streets and he would establish his kingdom. But the disciples were not comfortable with the thoughts of Jesus being crucified. Peter withstood Jesus concerning the cross. But Jesus, in his wisdom and kindness, allows them a glimpse of what is beyond the cross. In John 14:3-1, we read, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Heaven. I want to go there. I want to live there. I want that to be my destination. Yes, it does say heaven is a place. I remember years ago, we were having a conversation in the living room of a pastor friend, and he said, you know, heaven is not a real place. It's just a state of existence. We're going to transcend this spirit, this existence, and go to a spiritual existence. And I can remember Sister Hansen, Sister Yvonne saying, "Don't take my hope away." And that really is it. It really is a place. Heaven is a real place. It was a place that existed during the days of Jesus' sojourn here on earth. It was a place that is just as real as earth on which we live. It's a place that will exist when the life we live here no longer exists. 2 Peter 3:10 tells us this. But there have been many improvements since Jesus was here on this earth. Imagine what heaven must be like if the master creator of us had 2,000 years to perfect that place. When he in 7 days or 6 days created the earth, he said, "Let there be, let there be, let there be." And then he formed the animals and he formed man out of the dust. Animals, he just spoke life. Man, he breathed life into them. Can you imagine what heaven must be like if he's been working on it all this time? Heaven is the dwelling place of the glorified Christ. We see in Acts chapter number 9, it says this is Saul is journeying to Damascus, ready to threaten the church. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said unto them, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Yes, it says it was a voice from heaven that spoke to the rebel Pharisee, and that was the voice of Jesus Christ. This is the same place where he is enthroned. Think of Stephen. He's preaching in Acts chapter number 7. This is the time where they get angry at him. But listen to what he says in verse 49. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? In chapter 17 and verse number 24, we read, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Heaven is a real place. It's a real place. We read in the New Testament in the end, and we're going to read it a little bit. John, he's risen up into the heavens, and he said, I saw things that were not lawful to utter. And if you read the original translations, it means that I saw things that I could not describe with the words that I have. Heaven is a wonderful place. This is a place where we will fall down and worship Jesus. This is the place of our hope. I want to go to heaven. Heaven, I want to go there. If you don't want to go to heaven, I don't know what's wrong with you. You don't want to know why I want to go to heaven? Because Jesus lives in heaven. Heaven. Jesus is what will make it heaven to me. In Colossians 1 and 5, Paul writes, For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Listen to this. Hebrews, it's the book of better. It's comparison. And whoever wrote that, whether it's Paul or somebody else, we read this and they're saying, you know, it was this way in the Old Testament. This is the way it is in the New Testament. This is all right, but this is better. This was good, but this was great. And he says this in Hebrews 10 and 34. For ye have had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, the confidence which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. It is a real place, and I want to go there. If we endure, if we're obedient, if we follow his commandment, we will receive a promise, an enduring substance. In other words, what we have here is fleeting. What we have here is temporary. I often think of that the elements will melt with fervent heat and there'll be no place found for them. Everything that we have and hold, the basic elements that make them will not exist, so they will not exist. But there is a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is where the hope of every born-again believer should rest. It's not about God giving you new or better here. It's not about God giving you better or best here. It's about eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. You know why the church exists? It's because Adam and Eve failed and they blew up at what God wanted here on this earth. So God one day is going to start on a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness with those who have been blood bought, blood washed, Holy Spirit filled, ready for eternity, without spot or wrinkle, and without reproach, and without being able to be tempted. Perhaps some of you have received an inheritance. What did you do with it, the gift? Did you invest it in something lasting, or did you spend it on something foolish? Did you spend it on riotous living? Is it all gone now? And we talked about the rebel son that spent it on riotous living. I watched people that got inheritance, and it's gone in 6 months. I know some people that I can witness that they got their inheritance and it was like, what do you have left? Oh, nothing. We took a trip and we did this and we did this. You mean your dad worked hard for that and saved for that and then you went, and it's all up in smoke? People, years ago, this was back in the 70s, the man that started Champion Spark Plugs died, and he left all of his money to his one heir, and within 2 years, multiplied millions of dollars were gone. It matters not what material inheritance you receive on this earth. It will pass away. You and I have an eternal inheritance of which we must not disallow ourselves. Again, I read from an epistle written to the church in 1 Peter 1 and 3, and I can't say it any better than Peter did. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye see him not now, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Heaven, I want to go there. I have a valuable inheritance. What I leave to my children is valueless compared to what my heavenly Father has given to me. It's reserved where? In heaven. In heaven. That's where my inheritance. I'm not getting my inheritance here. Oh, they have rules. Like this is one of the rules that if you're rich and you want to leave stuff to your kids, you can start leaking out $15,000 a year to each one of your heirs. Tax-free. Kind of start distributing their inheritance now. And that way, when the bulk of the sum comes, there's not as much taxed. Do you know what we have? The Bible calls the Holy Spirit and all the blessings that surround it the earnest of our inheritance. You can ask a realtor like Brother Richard, how much is earnest money? It's not 10%. It's like 1% of the purchase price. You say, I'm going to buy a house. And they say, oh, it's $500,000. Okay, give me $5,000 earnest money and make an offer. And if we accept the offer and you accept the offer, if you don't follow through, you lose your $5,000. But $5,000 isn't enough for a down payment for a house of $500,000. You might have to have $100,000 to buy that house. But you see, what Jesus has given us is amazing. We feel it this morning. We've experienced it. We rejoice in it this morning. And we sing about him being our deliverer and our healer and the giver of life and our redeemer. And we say every praise is to him. And we feel the glory of his presence. But that's just the earnest of our inheritance. That's just a tiny part. If you please, it's 1%. What's heaven going to be like? What's it going to be like when we step from the temporary into everlasting, from the temporal into the eternal? Philippians 3 and 27, for our conversation or our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know he's coming again. I'm waiting for that hour. That time will come. The one who went away will come again. Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica. They're living in tumultuous times. I don't know about you guys that want to go back to the good old days. Man, I don't want to, you know, wash all my clothes by hand and hang them out on the line. Well, of course, I wouldn't be doing it. My wife would be doing it. Unless I was one of those guys that has to go and dig in the ground for dirt and gold and whatever, you know. We think that being around when Jesus was around would have been a much better deal and life would have been easier. It was tough. You look at the persecution that came to the church, and it was coming to the church. And Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, he's prophesying, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We say it's tough. No, it's not about a better tomorrow. It's about a better eternity. It's not about something better here. It's about something grand there. Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day. We were driving down Division Street. And I said to my wife, you know, they're repaving Division Street. And it's kind of, you know, I was going down Division Street getting ready to go to Salt and Straw and thought I'd take the easiest way. And it wasn't the easiest way. But it made me think of the early days of our marriage, and we were living out on 178th and Division, and I'd drive straight down Division to work to 12th and Division, and I'd drive a smoke bomb to work. It was just like, you get down from 178th to about 102nd, maybe 82nd, and all of a sudden, and black smoke would just billow out of the back of that thing, cover the TriMet bus. Ever want to get back at a bus driver, borrow my old car. There it is. And it was horrible. But we were happy because we were happy in Jesus. We're not any happier with the things that we have. It's not the things that make us happy. It's our relationship with God and one another. And those are the only things that we have a potential of taking into eternity, is our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with each other. Don't let the events of this tumultuous time weaken your faith. Don't let the situations of your life rob you of hope. That which has no bearing on that which is to come. Again, Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 1:6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. That is good news. Heaven is a wonderful place, and I want to go there. And if you stand with me, I just want to read a little description of this place that we're going to. You ever look on the internet and you see the pictures of the house, and the room looks huge because the guy that's laying on the floor taking a picture of the living room. Wide. Yeah, wide. And you walk in and go, I have claustrophobia. This isn't as big as I thought it was. They're crafty. It's sometimes an illusion. Because you read it and then you say, 3 bedrooms, 2.5 bath, 1,200 square feet, and you're going, how do you fit big bedrooms in 1,200 square feet? And you're going, yeah. I was talking in the office today about heaven. Heaven's big. Brother Daniel's 1,500 miles cubed by our standards. But it was the measure of the angel. Ever met a little angel? Ever met a big one? Yeah. They're huge. It's a big place. In my Father's house are many mansions, or many dwelling places, the Bible says. I remember going to a concert years ago, and Andre Crouch was saying, oh, give me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. And he started singing, and everybody's, yeah. And he says, I don't want a cabin in the corner. I want a mansion right by the throne. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. But that's just the city we're going to live in. And we get to go out and come in. And the kings of the earth bring their gifts to the city. It's going to be a wonderful place. So John, this guy who was close to the heart of God, this one who had seen Christ glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. This one who on the Isle of Patmos had seen the heavens open and began to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. He saw things to come. Remember, the revelation of Jesus Christ is just that. It's not so we can know exactly when Jesus is going to come, because no man knows the day or the hour. It's not so we can know exactly the time frame or the slot. It's so we can know that, oh yes, there's going to be catastrophe and God is going to punish and pour out his wrath, but ultimately he's going to win, and those who have been redeemed will stand by his side. And after all these catastrophic events are revealed, and the vials and all of the crazy stuff that happens in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, John says this in 21 and 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. In other words, the dwelling place of God is with man. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. Says one day it's all going to be new. You want a new car? You want a new house? You want a new body? You want a new mind? You want a new... No, we'll stop right there. It's anything. All things are new. In verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was as jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished in all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth a topaz, and the tenth a chrysophrasus, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there, and there shall be and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations to it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Heaven, I want to go there. Is your name written down? Remember when the disciples came back and said, hey, the devils are subject to us. Hey, we heal people. He said, hey, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Why? Because that's where the eternal reward is. That's where the greatness thereof is. And in Revelation 3 and 12, the voice from heaven says to John, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. It's not going to be Jesus. It's not going to be Jehovah. It's become my salvation. I don't know what it is. But it's because he's become our salvation. One day we'll have all of that newness. And we will walk up and down in his glory. And there'll be no sickness and no pain. and no dying and no separation and no tears and no fear and no need to work for our daily bread and no lack, no need that is not meant, no separation, no sin, no chance of sin, no death, oh no sadness, no anger, no violence or vengeance. Heaven, I want to go there. Does anybody want to go to heaven? You want to come and tell Jesus that? We rejoice in His presence. Oh, Jesus, thank You for Your presence. Thank You for heaven.